Good morning, and welcome to News Briefing, your essential daily update on the stories shaping our world. I'm Arjiv.
And I'm Arohi. Today, we're covering a broad spectrum of news from across the globe, drawing from NPR topics, the New York Times, U.S. top news and analysis, and many other trusted sources.
Before we dive into today's headlines, a quick look back. On this day in history, March 21, 1999, Bertrand Piccard and Brian Jones completed the first non-stop circumnavigation of the Earth in a balloon. A truly remarkable feat of human ingenuity and perseverance.
Absolutely, a great reminder of what we can achieve. And speaking of achievements, Arjiv, we're starting today with a significant development regarding press freedom here in the USA. Federal judge has issued a ruling that could reshape how the Pentagon interacts with news organizations.
That's right, Arohi. Tell us more about this. What exactly did the judge decide, and what are the implications?
A federal judge has struck down key parts of the Pentagon's restrictions on news outlets, declaring them unconstitutional. This ruling came as a result of a lawsuit brought by the New York Times. The policy in question required media organizations to pledge not to gather information unless defense officials formally authorized its release. The judge found these rules to be fundamentally at odds with the First Amendment.
So, this is a major win for independent journalism, then?
It is. The ruling emphasized the critical role of independent journalism in a democratic society. It cut deeper than any political leaning, directly addressing the constitutionality of the policy imposed by Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth. The judge's decision essentially vindicates the right of the press to operate without pre-authorization from the government for information gathering. It's seen as a significant affirmation of press freedom.
That's a powerful statement, and while some aspects of media are being affirmed, others are facing significant shifts. We're also hearing about a major change in the traditional broadcasting landscape.
Indeed. CBS News is shutting down its storied radio news service after nearly a century of operation. This move is part of a larger round of layoffs at CBS News. The radio service, which began in September 1927, was actually a precursor to the entire CBS network. Today, its top-of-the-hour news roundups are delivered to approximately 700 stations across the U.S. Its closure truly marks the end of an era for broadcast news.
A remarkable legacy coming to a close. It really highlights the evolving landscape of media consumption. From traditional media, let's pivot to the world of technology and its growing impact, particularly in the realm of artificial intelligence. We're seeing a push for federal oversight on AI, even as innovation accelerates.
That's right. The Trump administration has unveiled a national AI policy framework, specifically aimed at limiting state-level power in AI regulation. Industry leaders have largely supported this, arguing that a patchwork of state laws would hinder innovation and potentially put the U.S. at a disadvantage against global competitors like China.
And the White House has also released its own guidelines. Are they aligned with this framework?
Yes, largely so. The White House, on Friday, released new guidelines for federal legislation on the technology. These recommendations include some safeguards for children and consumer protections, particularly concerning energy costs associated with AI. The overarching goal remains a unified federal approach to prevent fragmented state regulations.
So, it's about establishing a consistent national strategy for AI. Meanwhile, on the development front, we're seeing continued advancements, particularly in the open-source community.
Absolutely. A new open-source AI coding agent called OpenCode has emerged, generating significant buzz. This kind of collaborative development underscores the rapid pace of innovation in AI, pushing boundaries in how code is written and applications are developed. We're also seeing deeper technical breakthroughs, with new research like attention residuals being published. These are fundamental advancements that improve the efficiency and capability of AI models, which are often shared and debated within the academic and developer communities.
The pace is certainly dizzying, and it seems like these innovations are quickly moving from academic research to mainstream applications. We recently heard about OpenClaw's ChatGPT moment. What does that signify?
At NVIDIA's GTC conference this week, CEO Jensen Huang dedicated a major part of his keynote to OpenClaw, a technology that essentially didn't exist 6 months ago. This rapid rise from obscurity to a central talking point is being dubbed its ChatGPT moment, signifying how quickly groundbreaking AI models can emerge and disrupt the market. It's sparking concern among some that AI models are rapidly becoming commodities, with new, powerful versions appearing with increasing frequency, potentially lowering barriers to entry but also intensifying competition.
That's fascinating. With so much new technology, how are businesses and individuals adapting to integrate AI into their daily operations?
We're seeing a significant push for AI adoption. FedEx, for instance, has started delivering promotion-ready AI training to over 400,000 workers globally. This initiative aims to increase AI literacy across its 500,000 employee base, integrating AI into their workflows and preparing them for a future where AI skills are essential.
That's a massive undertaking, and it seems like individual tech workers are also eager to get on board.
They are. At a number of companies, employees are actively competing on leaderboards to show how much AI they're using. This trend, sometimes jokingly called token maxing, means workers are racking up significant bills in AI processing, demonstrating a strong eagerness to leverage the technology, but also highlighting the burgeoning costs associated with intensive AI use.
Clearly, AI is becoming an indispensable tool. But what about its commercial applications, particularly in advertising and retail?
On the advertising front, ChatGPT's ad pilot program has the industry quite excited. AI search ads are seen as having massive potential by ad industry insiders and analysts. However, some insiders are expressing frustration with the slow rollout, eager to fully capitalize on this new revenue stream. Interestingly, OpenAI's rival, Anthropic, has publicly pledged not to incorporate ads into its AI models, setting up a potential philosophical divide in the market.
And we're also hearing about OpenAI's ventures into online shopping. How has that been progressing?
OpenAI's first attempt at online shopping, featuring an instant checkout option, encountered some stumbling blocks. While major retailers like Etsy, Walmart, and Shopify were quick to jump on board, there were issues. Item information was often inaccurate, and onboarding new merchants proved to be difficult. OpenAI is now reportedly preparing for the next wave, learning from these early challenges to refine its approach to agentic shopping.
So, lots of rapid innovation, but also real-world challenges in implementation. And speaking of the broader societal impact of AI, there's a significant discussion happening about the Internet Archive.
Yes, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, or EFF, has weighed in, arguing that blocking the Internet Archive won't actually stop AI development. What it do, however, is erase a crucial part of the web's historical record. The concern is that while AI developers might find alternative data sources, restricting access to the archive would deprive researchers, historians, and the public of an invaluable repository of digital history, with little actual impact on the growth of AI itself. It's a debate about data access, preservation, and the unintended consequences of policy decisions.
A very important point to consider as we navigate this new technological landscape. Now, shifting gears to consumer retail, Arohi, Walmart is making a significant change in its stores.
They are. Walmart is rolling out digital shelf labels across all its U.S. stores, with completion expected by the end of 2026. This move has sparked debate. Is it a step towards greater efficiency and dynamic pricing, or is it surge pricing in disguise? These labels allow for instantaneous price changes, potentially responding to demand or inventory levels in real time, which could fundamentally alter the in-store shopping experience.
That's certainly something shoppers will be watching closely. From economic shifts, let's turn to some important social and international headlines. We're hearing about the removal of references to Cesar Chavez across the U.S.
That's correct. Public references to Cesar Chavez, including statues and murals, are being removed across the United States. This follows a New York Times investigation that revealed allegations of sexual abuse by Chavez against women and girls. These removals reflect a broader societal reckoning with historical figures and the reevaluation of public commemorations in light of new information.
A difficult but necessary conversation. And globally, we're seeing continued challenges in various regions. Arohi, what can you tell us about the situation in Australia?
In Australia, Muslims are celebrating Eid amidst a surge of Islamophobia. Recent events both abroad and at home are unfortunately fueling this rise in anti-Muslim sentiment. Community leaders are working to counter this trend, emphasizing the importance of unity and understanding during a time of increased tension.
A concerning trend. And from Europe, we have a significant statement from Norway's royal family.
Crown Princess Mette Marit of Norway has broken her silence, claiming she was manipulated and deceived by the late sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. In an interview with Norwegian TV, she expressed deep regret, stating she wishes she had never met him. This marks a rare public statement from a royal figure on such a sensitive and high-profile issue.
A very personal and powerful revelation. Finally, Arohi, what are you following in terms of international incidents?
We have a tragic incident out of South Korea. Thick smoke billowed from a car parts plant in the central city of Daejeon after a deadly fire. Initial reports indicate 11 people were killed and dozens injured in the huge blaze. Authorities are investigating the cause. And in the Middle East, there are serious allegations emerging from South Lebanon. The Guardian reports that Israel is deliberately targeting medical facilities in the region, citing health workers. This comes amidst ongoing conflict and raises significant humanitarian concerns.
Thank you, Arohi, for those comprehensive reports. A lot of important stories to digest today.
My pleasure, Arjav.
And before we go, here's a unique fun fact for you. Did you know that the QWERTY keyboard layout, which we still widely use today, was originally designed in the 1870s not to make typing faster, but to typists to prevent the mechanical keys of early typewriters from jamming? A fascinating example of how legacy design choices can persist for over a century. That's all for today's news briefing. We hope you found our rundown insightful. Join us again tomorrow for more in-depth news and analysis. Have a wonderful day.